Good morning, everyone. I'm here to present on my research, which is on the characterization of parents of sorghum mapping populations exposed to water deficit stress during the vegetative stage. The changing climate presents new challenges to agriculture, and global climate models project increased intensity and magnitude in water deficit conditions. And this is especially challenging for the arid and semi-arid regions of the world, where sorghum forms an important component of the cropping systems. And even at regions of high agricultural productivity due to abundant rainfall, there can be periods of drought within the growing seasons, as well as unexpected years of severe drought. In this case, we can say that drought is a key abiotic stress that limits crop productivity, and as such, plant traits that augment resistance to water deficit stress are indispensable. Now, although sorghum is regarded as a drought-tolerant crop, the question remains as to whether it can be relied on as the climate gets drier, and if important traits could be discovered that will not be necessary just for survival, but will be very important for appreciable productivity. So in trait development, plants adapt several strategies in order to cope with drought, and these strategies could be categorized into three groups. One is the avoidance strategy, where there is maintenance of high plant water status irrespective of the stress. And this, the plant achieves by having a maximum uptake of water or minimizing water loss. The second is the escape strategy, where there is induction and completion of reproduction before the onset of severe stress. And this, the plant achieves that by having a higher growth rate or making proficient use of reserves. And the third is the tolerance strategy, where the plant is able to undergo its life processes under limited water availability. And this is achieved by making some osmotic adjustments and scavenging for reactive oxygen species. So on this basis, my research tests the hypothesis that water deficit stress during the vegetative stage will induce different drought tolerance mechanisms, and the resultant changes in the physiological and agronomical traits are genotype specific. My objective was to characterize parents of sorghum mapping populations for shoot-related physiological and agronomical parameters under water deficit stress. Specifically, physiological parameters included a gas exchange, chlorophyll fluorescence, and then chlorophyll content. And then the agronomic parameters, I looked at the stem height and stem thickness, leaf number and tiller numbers, and then shoot biomass. So, using the 1 meter lysimetry facility as shown here, the experiment was set up in the greenhouse, and the growth media used was staphys. The experimental design was a two-way factorial treatment structure run in an RCBD with three blocks of size 22. The two factors here included, one, the parental sorghum genotypes, which consisted of 11 genotypes. And then the second factor is the watering regime at two levels, that is well-watered and then water deficit. So water deficit stress was imposed for 15 days, starting at 35 days after emergence. The well-watered pots were kept at 100% filled capacity, and then water deficit pots were exposed to 55 to 60% filled capacity. Empty pots were used to correct for evaporation, so that actual transpiration is obtained by deducting evaporation from evapotranspiration. So using the weighing scale as shown in the picture here, daily gravimetric pot weighing was followed through the 15 days period, one, to impose uniform level of stress across all the lines, and two, to determine the cumulative water transpired, which is used to determine the transpiration efficiency. Once a water deficit pot falls below the 55 to 60% filled capacity target point, water is added back to maintain this stress target point. And so for day 12 and 13, as shown here, it can be seen that the line graph for the selected genotype shown here goes up because water was added back to maintain the stress target point. At the end of the 15 days period, agronomic traits collected included stem height and thickness, tiller and leaf numbers, and then shoot biomass. Physiological traits included chlorophyll content using the SPAD, gas exchange using the LICO, chlorophyll fluorescence using the fluorimeter, and leaf area using the leaf area meter. And normally for most experiments, the root appears to be buried and forgotten. But in my case, I decided to be very, very kind to my root. So I dug into my pot and then I brought out some information on the root. So to get the root out of the pot, First, the pot is rolled on the ground to loosen contact, and then the content of the pot is gently poured out, and then there is a careful separation of the root from the surface, that's the growth media, and then it's laid down. The length is measured to estimate the rooting depth, and then roots were washed and dried to determine the root dry weight. And for all the data mentioned above, it was analyzed, statistically analyzed, using the GLM procedure in SAS. So, for results, for all the traits represented here, there were significant treatments were significant for the treatment, that is for the wall watering and water deficit stress. That is for all the traits shown here. And similarly, there were genotypes significantly differed from each other. That is irrespective of the treatment on them. But then for the four, the first four traits, that is the leaf number, the tiller number, photosynthetic assimilation, the stem height, there was interactive effect between the genotype and the treatment, implying that the effects of the treatments were genotype specific. So my subsequent graph follows on the interactive effect. On the y-axis is the leaf number, and then on the x-axis are the 11 genotypes. The blue bars represent the well watered, and then the red bars were water deficit stress. So the effect of the treatment on the leaf number resulted in less leaf numbers for almost all genotypes under water deficit conditions. And this can be understood on the basis that water deficit stress often alters the initiation of new leaves as well as the senescence of old and matured leaves. Now, looking at the percentage difference between the well watered and then the water deficit stress, genotype P898 can be said to have the least significant percentage difference, whilst genotype S1103 had the widest significant percentage difference. Similarly, on the y-axis, we have the tiller number, and then we have the genotypes on the x-axis. And then the effects of the treatment also again resulted in lesser tillers for almost all genotypes under water deficit stress. And this is very important in indicating the reproductive potential for the respective genotypes, because tillers often serve as a source of assimilate during the grain filling stage. Again, looking at the significant differences between the genotypes for the treatment, genotype P898 again had the least significant percentage difference, whilst genotype S1103 had the widest significant percentage difference for between the treatment. This is a picture here showing contrastive phenotypic differences between the well watered on the left and then the water deficit pot on the right. A above is genotype S1103, which lacked tiller development, and then it lacked tiller development. And then B below is genotype P898, which had less leaf number under stress, but then it maintained its tiller production. For photosynthetic assimilation, the effect of the treatment resulted in less photosynthetic assimilation for almost all genotypes under water deficit stress. And this is because water deficit stress induces the accumulation of abscisic acid, which results in stomata closure in an attempt to reduce water loss. But this, on the other hand, affects gas exchange, resulting in less photosynthetic assimilation under water deficit stress. Again, looking at the percentage differences for the genotype, genotype Marcia had the least significant percentage difference, whilst genotype SC283 had the widest significant percentage difference for the treatment. Transpiration efficiency here was obtained by a ratio of the shoot biomass to the cumulative water transpired, and it was higher for all genotypes under water deficit stress, particularly for genotype SC35, which is a notable stay green line. And while under water deficit stress, reduced stomata conductivity results in less transpiration, which leads to a higher transpiration efficiency. That is assuming that accumulation of biomass is not affected. And then some results on the roots. The rooting depth range for well-watered condition was 138 to 53 centimeters, and for water deficit, it was 144 to 83 centimeters. the root-to-shoot ratio was higher for water deficit conditions compared to the well watered. And this was because as a resulted from a reduction in the shoot biomass, other than an increase in the root biomass. The relationship between the shoot biomass to the dry root dry weight was positive for both and was stronger for the well watered compared to the water deficit condition. Based on the results above, the experiment was repeated for selected genotypes. These were contrasting genotypes. And then, again, for all the traits shown here, there were significant differences, irrespective of genotypic differences. And then, similarly, there were significant genotypic differences, irrespective of the treatment, for almost all the traits, except chlorophyll fluorescence. And then, for the genotype by treatment interaction, cumulative water transpire, stem height, and shoot biomass had the interactive effect, implying that the effect of the treatment was genotype specific. In conclusion, it can be said that water deficit stress induced different drought tolerance mechanisms, such as reduction in tiller and leaf numbers, as an avoidance mechanism. And then the resultant changes in the physiological and agronomical trait were genotype specific, such as the photosynthetic assimilation. Sorghum parental genotypes such as SC35, Marcia, and P89A012 can be classified as best performance under water deficit stress. And the result from this research will provide pathways to map genomic regions responsible for increased resilience to water deficit stress. And these pathways will include selecting the right population and also which traits to focus on. With that, I would like to say thank you to the entire crop physiology team at Kansas State University, and I can see myself somewhere there, so I must be thanking myself too. So on this note, I'll thank you all, and I appreciate any questions.
Thank you.
Can you go to your conclusion slide? Those genotypes you mentioned there, are those based on the ones that are not showing differences in water deficit and non-water deficit? They were not completely different, or those are the ones that perform in general best regardless of water deficit?
Okay, yeah, so how I reached my conclusion for this genotype, yeah. So I collected a number of traits, but for this talk, I just focused on just a portion of them. But then I did, apart from it being significant, I did genotypic differences for all the genotypes, and then I ranked them, and then, like, based on all the traits, I look at which one is performing best. And, like, for instance, S35 was consistently performing well under water deficit conditions. It wasn't changing much. Yeah, it wasn't significant, yeah.
So would you consider that as a good one versus RTF-430?
Okay, both SC283 and RTF-430 didn't have significance, though under water deficit condition, the transpiration efficiency is higher, but then compared to the well water condition, it's not significant, as you can see the error bars. But then if you look at S35, it's also high, but then was significant. But in a certain sense, if I want to choose between RTS-430 and then 283, I'll look at the difference and then look at how wide the gap is. If the gap is not that much, I can say, in this case, if the gap is higher, you can say it's doing better.
If you have a genotype that has really high conservation, say it's suffering things like much above any of them.
Yes.
But then they do see differences, and they have differences between the water and the
if I have a genotype which is having a higher transpiration efficiency, but then... If it's having a higher water transpiration efficiency, of course, like, it's considered like the best genotype. But then I also have to look at other traits. For instance, if it's having less leaf number, but then it's still able to maintain other important traits. Like, it's... I couldn't show all the results here, but then I threw everything also into a PCA and looking at how all the traits are varying with each other, and also to select how they are doing well. But I didn't have time to show that one too. So it's like, it's not just focusing on one trait, but I look at all the other traits and see how they vary with each other. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.